Lord, open my lips.
My mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Thank you.
psalmody is found in your bulletin. It begins with Psalm 92. I'll chant the antiphon, and then we will alternate. The day which the Lord hath made. Alleluia. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. To declare your loving kindness in the morning, and your faithfulness every night.
For in instruments and strings on the flute, and on the harp with harmonious sound.
For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered.
But my Lord, you have exalted like a wild horse. I have been anointed with fresh oil.
My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in the old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing.
To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Alleluia. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. Psalm number 1. But my will is in the law of the Lord. Alleluia.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the
his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the shepherds in times away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I am who I am, and my counsel is not with the ungodly. But my will is in the law of the Lord. Alleluia.
Psalm 2.
Has given me the nations, alleluia, for an inheritance, alleluia. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
let us break their bonds in pieces, and cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall hold them in derision.
Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, and to the earth in his deepest pleasure.
Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall break them in the rod of iron, you shall dash them to pieces like a
now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Glory be to the Father and to the Son
and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I have asked of my Father, alleluia. He has given me the nations, alleluia. Born inheritance, alleluia.
Psalm 3.
And he is high above all the people. Strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them without even a word. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances he gave them.
You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds.
Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. And hath appeared unto Simon. Alleluia.
The responsory following the readings is on page 213. The first reading is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, and which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Here ends the reading. Bless his name, proclaim his salvation from day to day. Give the Lord all glory and strength, give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep.
Give the Lord all glory and strength, give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, Text from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21 and 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. This is our text. We pray. Almighty God, who through the resurrection of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, hast overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, replenish us, we beseech thee, with thy heavenly grace, that dying unto sin always and living unto righteousness, we may at last triumph over death and the grave in the full image of our risen Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We all understand that there is a proper order to things. Grade school comes before high school, and high school comes before college. First, you plant the seed, then it grows, and finally, you get to pick the vegetables. And as the old preschool or grade school rhyme goes, Mike and Karin sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in a baby carriage. There is a proper order of things. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul was addressing the false claim of those who said there is no resurrection of the dead. So in the first 11 verses, he explains that the gospel which he preached to them was firmly founded upon the historical fact of Christ's resurrection, which thankfully the Corinthians had not denied. But St. Paul ticks off a historical list of Christ's resurrection appearances to various people. He concludes with that Christ's Galilee appearance to over 500 brothers at once. And then when he gets to verse 12, he says, "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" So, the resurrection of Christ proves that there is a resurrection from the dead. When someone says there is no such thing, well, all it takes is the existence of one example to show the statement is false. So, on the third day after his crucifixion, our Savior came back to life. In John 20, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and his resurrection is proof of it. There surely is a resurrection from the dead. Now, St. Paul is not content to say that Christ alone has risen. He also makes it clear that for believers, there is a resurrection from the dead. We know this from the Old Testament, which foretold it. We know this from the words of Jesus, who promised it to his believers. And we know this from the apostles who all taught it. St. Paul said, "Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." So in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul connects our resurrection with Christ's resurrection. He connects them, saying, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep." And so it is with this firstfruits language that St. Paul lets us know that there is an organic connection between Christ's resurrection and our resurrection. One is dependent upon the other. Now the Old Testament has a feast of first fruits. Exodus 23:19 says, The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. So, the first part of the harvest was to come in. That was to be given to God, with the believer trusting that the rest of the fruits would soon be harvested. Well, if Christ's resurrection is the first fruits, then our resurrection is the rest of the harvest. These two are connected. Even more than that, St. Paul makes a connection between Adam's sin, which brought him death, and our resulting death. You see, Adam brought death upon himself when he disobeyed. God said, "On the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." But now, due to Adam's fall, we who are born, two sinful parents, are born with a sinful nature. And Adam's death is the beginning, but his action is connected to our sinfulness and the resulting death which we receive. So St. Paul speaks of Adam as the means by which we receive death when he says, "By man came death." And St. Paul speaks also of Christ as the means by which we receive a resurrection. The first connection with Adam is a connection by nature. The second connection is a spiritual connection, that is, by faith. St. Paul says it this way, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The scriptures teach that the believers are connected to both Adam and to Christ. So having laid this firm foundation, St. Paul goes on to explain there is a proper order of things. He says, "But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." So yes, Christ has risen from the dead. Hallelujah! That fact we know. But if you're wondering about your resurrection, it will occur on the last day when Christ returns. Now, just because it hasn't happened yet does not mean it does not exist. St. Paul lets us know that there is an order of things, and we can expect to receive our resurrection on the last day. Jesus said in John 6:40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, back to St. Paul's first fruits language. St. Paul says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So when he speaks of those who have fallen asleep, he means believers who have died. The resurrection of Jesus, then, is not the end. It's the beginning. Christ's resurrection is only the first fruits. The entire harvest of believers is soon to follow. They, too, will rise from the dead at the resurrection on the last day. The scriptures teach that the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Matthew 13. You see, St. Paul knows, and he wants us to know, that there is an order of things. So, in between Christ's resurrection and our resurrection on the last day, our Jesus is ruling in his kingdom through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. In between Christ the first fruits and the harvest at Christ's return, God is working in his kingdom. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So God's plan is that there would be sowing and reaping of the word, so that through faith more might come to faith in Jesus Christ, receive the forgiveness of sins, have release from death, and then a resurrection from the dead. When you come to faith, death is only a falling asleep as we await our resurrection, because there is an order of things. When the work of grace has been completed and God has saved all of his believers, then the end will come. St. Paul says, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. There is an order of things. Christ the first fruits, our resurrection on the last day, and his reigning forever. There is an order of things. Well, you have participated in a Lenten journey which began on February 14th. Lent is a time of penitential reflection upon the Word of God. It is also a meditation upon the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. The intention of that Lenten journey was to arrive at Easter with glad and joyful hearts. Well, you have now arrived at Easter and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is time to throw aside all restraint. It is time to set aside the black coverings and the penitential purple. It's time to sing our Alleluias and Gloria Patris. It is time to sing the Gloria in Excelsis. It is time to join in the rejoicing in our salvation. It is time to praise the Paschal Lamb who has risen from the dead. There is an order to things. First Lent, then Good Friday, but finally we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Canticle for Easter, the Benedictus on page 217, we stand.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people,
and has raised up a horn of salvation for us.
David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet, who have been since the world began,
that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercies promised our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways,
to give knowledge of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness. darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly implore you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring the same to good effect. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to hear and keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty, everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Page 244, the Paschal Blessing. Baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ.
Hallelujah.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Oh, holy, oh, holy, oh, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the holy church acclaims you. Father of a majesty unbounded, your own and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints glory everlasting. O God, for our redemption, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may rise to live with Christ forever, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.